And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive. Can I take these off? All right. What is this? This looks good. Wow. That's well made. Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Welcome to another fun episode of Conclave Radio! I'm Casey, and I'm a big superhero fan.
I'm Greg, and I've been a superhero fan longer than Casey's been alive.
That's true.
Although probably not as big as a superhero fan as you.
I started getting into it in, like, the end of middle school.
Yeah.
And then about, like, freshman, sophomore year of high school is when I hit big, and I had a Batman t-shirt for every day of the week. I'm not kidding you. I went on a New York trip, and I wore a Batman shirt every day.
Which is the perfect place to wear Batman.
Right, exactly.
Let's face it.
And that was a big Batman phase pretty much all throughout high school. And then recently, I've just been getting into all the superheroes. Yeah. Kind of all of them. You know. And I like to draw them. And we kind of make my own sometimes.
We have the DC side of the table and the Marvel side of the table.
Well, see, here's the thing. Comics-wise, I'm actually really big DC. But I like Marvel too.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that, like, oh, and just as a warning, it's pretty much going to be a superhero episode this week because we haven't done much in Conclave recently. Well, we have.
We can talk about last week.
We can talk about a lot, actually.
Yeah, we can talk and about
we will.
Last week a bit. Yeah.
But it's going to go into superheroes just because it's that kind of day. And it ended up being me and Greg today again, which is fun.
And, you know, one of my friends shared a meme.
Oh, did he?
This weekend, and it's just perfect because he always shares, like, Christian scripture and these uplifting memes, and he shared this meme, and it said, I hope everybody knows that this is a very special weekend, and lots of people are really excited this weekend because this is the last weekend that we have to worry about what happened to Thanos and half the universe.
That's so true.
It was like, dude,
it's a huge...
Like, this is your opportunity to post an Easter meme, and he did not post any Easter scripture. Nothing. Just...
Thanos. that's...
You let your nerd side walk a little bit too far that time.
That's how big the movies have gotten, though. Like...
Like an entire generation that has grown around
in the
this.
Meme culture,
yeah.
Thanos is huge. Thanos by himself is huge.
Can we just say the Ant-Man Thanos?
Okay. Should we talk about that on this podcast? Now, I know where you're going.
It bothers me that Kevin Feige actually had to come out and say Ant-Man will not enter an orifice of Thanos.
Look,
and expand.
There are things that I want to bring up, but this is a Christian. If you follow the Russo brothers Instagram account, they changed their profile picture due to that theory.
Yes, and it was amazing.
And I feel bad for Paul Rudd.
Yeah,
because on almost every talk show, he's been asked about it, and he's just like, "Yes, I know about it.
I know about the theory.
I won't give you any details about the movie." But I do.
But
know
I don't
about.
Do that in the movie.
Hey, Nate.
Hey, intern Nate.
Traffic is horrible.
Is it? Yeah, I'm not that surprised.
Yeah, on that side.
You can get your own mic today. It's gonna be a chillax episode. We're gonna talk about superheroes.
Okay.
But
hello.
Hello. Oh, I always love superheroes.
We're just talking about the Ant-Man theory.
Oh. Yes.
Right on
now,
time.
Now, we got to be vague
but
about
you have
it
to
because
be vague.
This is a Christian.
You can't be explicit because
right.
we are Christian.
Right.
Although, if anybody has ever read Song of Songs,
it's not. I mean, we're not allowed to talk about
the Ant-Man theory, Nate?
I don't know about the theory. I've seen the movie, but I don't.
Okay. Oh, that's so. Let me be as non-detail oriented as I can.
Okay. Very careful.
Okay.
There is a fan theory that was addressed by the Russos and Kevin Feige because it got such huge discussion that the way to defeat Thanos would be for Ant-Man to shrink down to such a size that he could enter a certain orifice of Thanos, which should be exit only, and then in that orifice expand and
destroy
Thanos in much the same way that many men would.
And if you
describe,
do you understand?
I think so.
Okay,
you got to remember, he's not old enough to have gotten a prostate exam ever.
Thanos?
No.
Oh.
Turn Nate. Right, do they do prostate exams on Titan? Like, is prostate cancer a thing there?
I don't really know.
Well, they're the Eternals.
Next episode. Well, on.
I guess we'll find out in Endgame.
Well, but I mean...
I'm sorry. Oh, maybe we should...
That can be interpreted so many different ways.
Maybe you're away from so this one now. We've got a little bit too close to line.
A couple weekends ago... So if you noticed, we haven't had a couple episodes.
this is what happens.
Clint,
please come back. Please,
you know, this is your warning.
Yeah, you asked for this, Clint. You left us alone.
Anyway,
all right.
So it's been a hot minute since we've had a Conclave Radio episode. Things have happened, personal issues here and there.
Right.
People not showing up, kind of like today. But that's
the important
everyone
people
needs
showed
a break.
Up today.
Yeah, exactly. The important people showed up today. Yeah. I had car problems. That being said, I have a new car now.
Whoop whoop.
Yeah.
Well, you've been talking about getting a new car, right?
I have.
This has been in the works.
Yeah,
and you finally got rid of the back.
But I finally had an excuse
right.
to get rid of it. Yeah, no, like you could hear the wheel, like do 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 do. So I changed the rotor, got it fixed, made it drivable again, traded it in, and I'm rocking the Accord. It's better and gas efficient, so
yeah.
I'm happy with it. But yeah, anyway, personal problems. We haven't done much in Conclave U either, just because of Easter weekend. We had the Seder, which happened last Conclave U, which was really amazing.
I thought it was really
cool. It was really awesome, and I think it's a really good experience to have, especially for people around my age and in college age.
Yeah.
Because, you definitely have experience with the Passover dinner. I know Alan did. You guys are the ones that brought it up. So for...
It helps you to understand
the younger,
faith a little bit better.
Absolutely.
Walking into...
Your 20s. I will say this Holy Week has been... I understand it the most this year, if that makes sense. You know, kind of like the perspective of it.
Yeah.
So I just really enjoyed having the opportunity to, to do the Passover dinner. And... Matzo ball soup is really good.
And Mary did an excellent job on
it. She did.
But
it was a good dinner. And I did learn a lot about it. I think it's good for everyone to at least experience it.
We're going to do it again next year.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I don't doubt it.
Alan and I were talking about it, and I think this was the perfect experience to test out size. Because I don't think we would want to go much more than about 20 or 25 people.
Right.
Like, that was just perfect for keeping it intimate, keeping it that family atmosphere.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, I was going to say bigger room.
Yeah.
We will definitely need a bigger room.
Yeah.
You guys should do it every year, because I've got a little bit.
I'm pretty sure
this is going to be a Conclave tradition for sure.
I'm hoping
that it'll be a Metro tradition.
That would be nice.
That would be cool.
Make it
And I've actually been talking...
Worldwide church tradition.
And not only the first...
Well, it should be
a
worldwide church tradition. Like, we shouldn't lose
really
connection
should.
With our roots. Because
correct.
That's one of the things that Jews always say to Christians. They say, you know, you don't know anything about your Savior because he was Jewish, and you know nothing about being Jewish. But yeah, I've actually been talking to somebody about doing something like this for every festival. You know, there's spring festivals and fall festivals.
Oh, okay.
So there's
I didn't know that.
More major feasts in the Jewish calendar.
I didn't really know that.
Yeah.
And that was my first Passover dinner. Probably a lot of people's first Passover dinners. But that was for Metro, the first in a long time, we had finally a good Friday service.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Which was pretty awesome.
Did any of y'all do the Good Friday walk?
Yes.
That was good.
That was amazing. And again, that really helped my perspective,
right,
on understanding all of it and kind of the tradition about it.
Putting it in a frame of reference where you grow up hearing all of the sayings of Jesus,
right?
But when you can apply that to the context of the temple and Judaism and the people he was speaking to, it makes it a fuller understanding of the gospel. It doesn't take away from it; it just makes you understand more of what he was saying.
Absolutely,
yeah. It also showed what he replaced. So like, we don't have to do all of that now. Like, you had to do all of that just to pray in the room one time. You know, and it was only like once a year. Now we have we can just talk to him anytime, and we don't have to. You know, we don't have to do that because he died.
It did. I'm going to say put into perspective. Yes, sort of did. But it helped explain, like you said, what used to be almost a requirement into what we can do now.
Right.
Which is pretty awesome.
Go ahead.
Well, and we in our church tend to be charismatic, Pentecostal, whatever term you want to use. But I think there's so many people in the church worldwide that almost take coming into his presence flippantly.
They don't understand
the heavy weight that it is to come into the presence of a holy and almighty God. Mm-hmm. But I think doing something like that prayer walk gives you that sense of this is what the priests had to do to come into his presence. Mm-hmm. And so then when you go into his presence like on Sunday morning, I mean, that was a fire service.
Oh yes.
But you feel the presence of God, and you're like, okay, I shouldn't take this for granted. I shouldn't just write this off as, you know, I can live however and I can do whatever and walk into his presence, because, you know, there were people that dropped dead from not being prepared for his presence. And
yeah.
That's why you needed the bells.
Because it was so different from what I was expecting, too, because, you know, it was the first of Metro, so it was also the first of mine. I walked in and everyone was wearing black. The choir was supposed to wear black, and I was like, I'm way too colorful right now.
Yeah.
I was like, I gotta go home.
Be right back.
But apparently I wasn't the only one that was lightly dressed, so I was okay.
Did y'all stay for the end?
Okay,
I stayed all the way through.
Just to give people an idea of how great this service was, we dismissed, you know, maybe an hour after it started.
Dismissed.
Yeah. Dismissed.
We're going to play one last song
while everybody leaves. That's literally the words he used.
My parents...
2 hours later.
Yeah.
We dismissed.
My parents literally walked out when he said, you're dismissed. And then after the first or second song, I can't remember, and we had that interpretation... my parents were like, oh, we gotta go back inside. And then they're still going.
The Lord's not done yet.
Yeah. that was the feeling.
Yeah, I know.
He ain't done.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the beauty of it was, I kind of get a backstage pass because my wife's in the choir, and so she tells me stuff that they say. And they actually said, you know, we want this to be the mood of Good Friday, where
that's what I was going to bring up.
That's not what they expected to happen.
You can't
God
put it.
Fell,
can't
and God
put
was like,
Jesus.
No, he's not in the tomb.
He didn't stay there.
I think that kind of goes with the monologue they used earlier.
Yeah.
Like the fact why it's called Good Friday,
right?
Like, as you know, we should be happy about it. I know it's a dull moment. It's a sad moment. He died on the cross.
But that's just it. It's a sad moment.
Yeah. It's a sad moment, but it comes with great news.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think that tradition was kind of perfect.
It was
even
amazing.
If it wasn't planned technically. I mean,
and honestly, I love it when things aren't planned.
Oh, absolutely!
Like when God shows up and he's like, "No, no, you're going to do this," and maybe it's because I'm a little bit too Pentecostal. But when he shows up and you're like, okay, this is my plan. I've worked very hard. I've gotten it prepared and ready. And God shows up and goes, oh, no, that's not what's going to happen. And you're like, well, okay then. Let's go for a ride, God. And that's what we did.
I love that music too, because that's like, that was my old church, you know, how they did it. And I still miss that, you know, kind of music.
Can I say something like related to the Good Friday walk?
Yeah.
It's actually related to what you were saying about, you know, people take coming into God's presence for granted. And one thing that really, really hit me hard is the symbolism of the priests, the things that they were doing. Like, I don't know what exactly the correlation is. Like, we did some things. Like, there was this one thing, like, you write something on a piece of paper that you need to surrender to God, and you put it in the bowl, and you burn it, and then it's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then several other things, you know, just commemorating
washing
Jesus,
the hands,
his fact,
lighting
sacrifice,
the bowl,
all this stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, all this.
All that stuff is physical things that the priests had to do before coming to the presence of God. But the symbolism of those things, which is clearly stated in the Bible, those are heart issues that we need to do before coming to the presence of God.
Yeah.
Before coming to the presence of God, we don't have to, you know, light a paper on fire, but we have to surrender what's on our hearts to God.
So, like metaphorically, we should still do that.
We should still be doing all this. But because of Christ's sacrifice, we don't have to have a person doing it for us.
Right.
He's given us the ability as individuals to go through that process. It's not just the high priest that gets to go and do all of that and ascend into presence.
Well, yeah, what was also, like, really powerful was, like, the veil part.
Oh.
Like, when we all crammed in that little space, and they're like, when he died, the veil split in two, and you don't have to go through it anymore.
That's
so
my
now
favorite
go
part
through
of the whole story.
Yeah, that was, like, yeah, that was, that,
it,
that
it has
hard.
Been.
Yeah.
But that was really cool towards the end of it, yeah.
That, to me, is one of those things where it's, like, it's documented in history, and it just blows my mind that it's documented in history that there was an eclipse, and there was an earthquake, and the veil of the temple split in two. I don't see how people in that day didn't go, oh, hey, I think that guy was the Son of God.
Yeah, I know.
Like, at the same time, there's people today that do the same thing. They deny clear evidence, but I'm like, man, how awesome is it that he said, I need to get my point across.
Those are the same people who don't vaccinate their kids.
Across.
No.
You get the point across.
Oh my, Aaron did the worst joke the other day. Did you guys hear about the joke?
No, he told me that you're the only one that laughed.
Yeah, it was funny, but like no one else laughed. I gotta support my youth pastor. But no, he was up there and he said, Jesus, you know, had to, you know, like, walk his cross, like, to the, you know, spot to be crucified, you know. And he was like,
oh yeah,
he was like, it was the first cross fit. And everybody just kind of, just like,
he said it was
so bad. But yeah.
Chirp, chirp.
No,
chirp,
yeah, that's
chirp.
What he said. He said Nate was the only one laughing.
Yeah,
that's.
Yeah, and more people were disappointed than yeah. It was.
He
it was
said
rough.
It to it. Who was in the room? Just the teenagers?
No, this was like youth service. When is it night?
Oh, yeah.
This was during the message.
Yeah.
But,
That's why they make you a youth pastor before you become an actual, like,
right.
Full pastor.
So you don't make those jokes.
So that you make those jokes and you realize that they don't go over real well.
It was one of those things where it gets in your head and you're like, this is genius. And then you say it and you're like,
that did not
yikes.
Go over.
Yeah, never mind.
That went over like a lead brick.
I should not have said that. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll take jokes that are heretical for 500, Alex.
Yes.
But yeah, like,
jokes that can get me fired for 500.
Oh, speaking of jokes, like, okay, things that can get you fired by youth pastors. Please tell me y'all read the article about the youth pastor in, I think it was California last week. So he was trying to get the point across of, like, what Easter means and Good Friday and all that.
Uh-huh.
And so the Wednesday before Easter, he opened up the floor during youth service and he lined up all of the youth.
Mm-hmm.
And he had them come up and, like, yell in his face, like, yell insults,
right.
And spit on him.
Oh.
And then once they had all gone through the line and all done this, he got them to line back up, and they each came through and slapped him. And then he had them come back through the line and cut him with a knife.
Nope.
Okay,
nope. Okay, that's like, I want y'all to understand what Jesus did willingly for you.
That's a little...
And, like, the immediate response from every religious group and from that church was like, no, this is not okay.
Understand what he's trying to do.
The knives is where it really gets.
There are lies. Yeah. You know, that... Like...
Do not encourage teenagers to do something like that.
Insulting? Yeah. I can understand that.
That's towing right up to the line.
That's like toying with it.
Yeah, it's still...
Slapping him?
Okay.
Yikes.
Okay.
That's stepping on the line, you know?
We get it. Like, we get where you're trying to...
That's what you're doing.
Spitting on him? I'm out. Cutting him? I'm finding another church, you know?
I'm finding the police.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That probably.
But yeah, there were like parents that of course, the kids are texting their parents.
Oh my God!
Coming down and getting
is that five kids or 25 kids? I mean,
it was like
a
big youth group. It was like 20 or 30 kids.
Yeah. I hope that is he still alive?
He's alive, but
is he cut up?
Well, I think there were only a couple that cut him before like parents started.
And those are the kids that need Jesus.
I was about to say, what does that say about those kids?
You know, I bet he was just narrowing it down.
I need to know which ones I really need to preach to. But I mean, like, if you're in a position of authority, you have to be really careful what you tell teenagers to do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's definitely over the line.
Because I mean, now they're going to go insulting people, probably.
But, like, I do
hope
understand.
Not spitting on
him. Yeah. I do understand what he was trying to get across.
Right. No, I understood it until he crossed the line.
Yeah.
At first I was like, that's not a bad idea. And
then he said, cut me.
And I said, nope.
Red flag.
Yeah, that's a... What denomination was
that? I wonder what his plan was after
Let's not talk
that.
About
yeah,
it.
We don't want to start that.
Yeah, so I don't know how you bring that back around to a message. Like, how do you...
Yeah.
He's like holding his... Now. For the, and as I close.
Now.
Now you can come by and pray for you.
Nail my hands. No. No.
But yeah.
I'm going to go in my room and sleep for 3 days.
And I'll be clean on Sunday.
Guys, I'm getting fired, but I
cool
should be back in 3 days.
Right.
Yeah.
As
we close, Sarah's bringing up the nails.
And I wasn't upstairs for the Easter service. I'm always in kids' service.
It was good.
It was a really good service.
I heard.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
I heard some of the songs they sang, and we talk about the same stuff in kids' church because it's awesome and we watch videos. But she used some of the same stuff we used to like burn the sins away. She like nailed them all on a cross and then lit them on fire and went whoosh.
There you go.
It was pretty cool.
Although my problem is, I've seen multiple people do demonstrations of one type or another where they nail things to a cross.
But I was really afraid she was going to catch the cross on fire. I'll
I
be
can't
really
hear
honest.
That
but
sound.
She didn't, so it was good.
Like, wait, that what? Sound, it just... I can't hear it.
What, like nailing
like
it?
Like, nailing anything to a cross. Because, like, ever since I saw The Passion of the Christ, that sound associates with that, like, emotional tie.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that movie when I was an atheist.
Right.
But still, I can't hear, like, that nail on hammer on wood. Like, it is so evocative to me, that sound.
Yeah.
Just, like... chills up my spine, like it's nails on a chalkboard to me.
Ouch.
Because I'm like, oh, because all I can think of is like him being nailed to the cross. And Les and I were driving home on Sunday, and I was like, or we were going, where were we going? Maybe it was when I got home, because I fed, and so wasn't driving home, but it was at some point on Sunday. And I said, knowing that he could have called 10,000 angels and said, okay, I'm done with this. This is it. Kill them all. And, like, everybody in Jerusalem would have been just wiped clean because he had that power, and yet he hung on a cross. Oh, Easter just gets to me. That takes self-sacrifice.
Yeah. No,
like,
yeah.
That's it.
I mean, that I think that's something... So, well, something I've always thought about, like, he could have done anything. But he chose that, and he knew it was coming. And that's what's always amazed me.
Yeah.
Is that he chose to do that, which is awesome.
Yeah. And on top of that, nobody cared. Like, nobody liked it.
Yeah,
like,
that is true.
Like, any other example of self-sacrifice in all of history, you have the people cheering them on and saying, thank you for this.
And he had three people sitting at the cross, barely hanging on. And one of them was only there because she was his mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other one was only there because
he cast
demons out of her.
Yeah.
And the other one was literally his best friend in the entire world. So, which, one of those things I'm going to ask when I get to heaven is I'm going to go up to John and I'm asking, when did you die? Because tradition tells us that every single other one of the disciples was martyred, but they couldn't kill John.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they tried to kill him many times and couldn't kill him. So I'm going to be like, when did you actually die? Like, they put you on an island because they couldn't kill you. So, like, how long did you have to sit on that island before you died naturally?
Yeah.
Just one of those things I'm curious about.
And where was that island?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the next episode of Gilligan's Island?
Yeah. And that would have been a good way for them to end Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, it would.
Find John?
Yeah. The skipper and Gilligan are sitting there on the island. Suddenly this guy walks up with a robe and a really long beard.
Baptized.
Hey, I've got this letter of this revelation that an angel gave me. Can I give it to one of y'all to take back to civilization? I think we've already got that letter. It's already in a Bible.
Yeah, like the season finale. At the season finale, he walks up and like, John? And then just ends.
Yeah.
No one would get it but us.
Yeah. You know, I think it's interesting, like, this is like not at all what we're talking about, but like I've always been interested in like the end times and Revelation. Mm-hmm. And like, you know how everything is like, you know, compared to like locusts and stuff, and you think about that modern terms and it's like, there's no way that would happen. But the thing is like, you know, just depending on how you interpret the Bible, where it like, you know, if it's like, this is exactly going to happen, or this is like a metaphor. But what also you have to keep in mind is like, what John could have seen, he had no idea what it was at the time, and he had to compare it to whatever he had knowledge of. And we forget about that sometimes. Like, like the part where, this is like, probably not like all the way true because I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but like the part where like the locusts, and it sounds like a, you know, a bunch of horses running, you know, a bunch of horses running kind of sounds like a helicopter, you know, and you think of a locust or like with a scorpion tail, you know, like the Apache helicopters, you know what I'm talking about, like they kind of have some resemblance, and I think that's interesting, you know, because like at the same time it's like you want to interpret it exactly how it says, but at the same time, if he didn't know what
how
that
would
was,
he have described an Apache helicopter.
Yeah, and if he would have said helicopter, everyone from like, you know, before helicopters, like, what the heck is a helicopter?
For 1800 years,
yeah, exactly.
What?
Exactly. What is a helicopter?
Yeah. We are Christians, and we have to pronounce it heckacopter. Thank
right.
You.
Yes. Sorry. Excuse my language. Heckacopter. Almost did it again. But yeah, I think that's interesting too. Just random side note.
Yeah, like what when we finally see tribulation and all that, and we're
what
like,
he
oh,
actually
this
saw.
This is what you okay?
Yeah.
Ah, almost more impressed than scared. I tell you what though, God's creative. He's got a great sense of humor too.
Literally, he's creative.
Oh my gosh.
Alright, on that note, we're done.
Okay, so that brings us full circle to
it's been 28 minutes.
Yeah. We've come around to Revelation, which brings us back to Endgame.
I'm going to see it tomorrow night at 6 o'clock.
I'm
going to cry. Are you going to the same one?
Patton Creek,
6 o'clock?
Yeah.
You won't sit with us, apparently.
No, I cannot.
What?
I have to do this alone.
It's whatever. We're all going to see this. We'll talk about it after.
Yes.
I think what we're going to do is after the movie, we're all going to like get together and talk about it.
Get together and pray over me. Because
pray
I would be
over
devastated.
Captain America, because he's out.
Yeah, and Iron Man, because he's out.
And Thor.
And Thor.
And I don't know. You know Thor 4 was pitched, apparently?
Really?
I don't know if it was approved, but the fact that Thor 4 was even pitched makes me think, does he die?
Well, you know, what interested me was I hadn't heard this until last week. Apparently, Feige said the reason they wrote Bruce Banner into Ragnarok and Infinity War and all of that the mm-hmm. way they did mm-hmm. is they were trying to give him a 3-movie
yeah.
character arc to right. see how interested people would be in a solo movie.
Well, that's the problem. They can't really do a solo movie with him because of the Universal has the distribution rights to any solo movie.
No.
They have to make a specific contract. They have to make a different contract after this current contract expires with Universal.
So what is the Incredible Hulk?
That Universal has the distribution rights to that. Which is, which I'm pretty sure is the reason why it hasn't been used, like any actual footage from Incredible Hulk has not been used in promotion for Endgame.
Even though it is a Marvel Cinematic Universe film.
No, yes it has. There's one TV spot, or one advertisement I saw on Instagram. It goes and...
It has footage from The Avengers, not from Incredible Hulk.
It has Incredible Hulk. It's but MCU. Anyways, it's canon.
I would think that it would wasn't be really good, cool for them to do a solo Hulk as Professor Hulk.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. That's what I said.
It is pretty much confirmed, I believe, because there's leaked photos and everything. By the way, Thor has a beard as big as yours.
Which is going
to
be amazing.
He's
supposed to be a drunk Norse in this movie. Like, the traditional...
Oh, I didn't see his beard that long.
Ultimate.
There's,
Norse
leaked
guy.
Photos and everything.
Oh, okay. I can't see anything leaked. Man, I gotta... No, I gotta hold it in. And I want to be surprised in this movie.
I'm
that guy.
Photos.
Like, I can't even... I don't even want... At the beginning...
Like, literally, I
saw those. But, like, Blake... I'm pretty sure Blake already knows everything.
He does.
And I told him. He tried to tell me, and I said, no! Because I gotta...
Literally all anybody knows at this point is that there is a Professor Hulk and that Thor has a big beard.
I see, I didn't
and
even know
Ant-Man
that.
And that Ant-Man will not destroy Thanos from the inside out.
Well, the Russo...
That is officially
said that, but they also said that the title wasn't going to be Endgame.
Feige said himself, I will guarantee you that is not going to be used as a plot device.
I'm fairly certain it's going to be time travel and it's going to use the quantum realm.
Yes.
We can be 90% sure of time travel in the quantum realm because that's what the white suits are going to be.
Right.
Because that was in leaked...
That was leaked and now that's official.
That was in leaked action figure and toys
right.
and everything. So
I started looking at the Lego
suits
sets.
Or something like that, yeah. But and we know that Captain Marvel is going to play a significant role.
Make an appearance.
Oh, she's going to be a huge role. Oh, and the recent trailer, she showed her new suit.
Yes.
And she has a sash. I'm excited about mm-hmm. the sash.
Oh, speaking of which, there's an interesting little Easter egg in Infinity War.
Yeah, we're done. We're on Endgame.
I don't remember his name.
Here, I'm going to close it out real quick.
The big guy in the Black Order, he has Captain Marvel's sash on his belt.
I saw something about that. I'm going to close it out real quick. Okay. So anyway, that was a great... It was a Holy Week episode of Conclave Radio to make up for the past couple weeks we haven't been here. If you're around the metropolitan area of Alabama, you can join us at Conclave every Sunday night at 6 o'clock. We always have free food, great service. We're going to start a new series called Altar Call this Sunday. That starts at 6 o'clock, but we start eating earlier. And every Wednesday night at 6:30, Conclave View at Metropolitan Church of God. Mm-hmm. We're starting a new series tonight called DNA, What Makes You You. And also every Sunday morning, Jason Browning has a great message for us at Metropolitan Church of God, 10 o'clock. But if you can't join us for any of those, you can always follow us on social media. We are all over social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Conclave Radio is also on Instagram. We're on Spreaker, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes. There's no reason for you to not listen. And, well, other than we don't have episodes for a couple weeks. Also, that being said, we're almost at the end of season 2.
Almost.
There are 4 more episodes.
3.
In this season. 3? No.
Because there's 4 more Wednesdays, but we've just had our...
Well, if there's 4 more Wednesdays, then there's 4 more episodes.
Well, but that's counting tonight.
No, but we take next... Well, we take next week's episode from tonight.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. So we have 4 more episodes of Conclave Radio, and then we're off for the summer. And then we'll see you at season 3. Right. And trust me, we'll be better, I swear. We might actually have a studio finished by then. Anyway, I think that was a great holy episode, and... Afterwards, maybe we'll record a spoiler alert on Endgame.
Yes.
Or maybe we'll just take over Conclave Radio. We'll see.
Yeah.
But anyway, we will see you next time on the next episode of
Conclave Radio!
Yeah, I'm... Was your voice deep?
What was that?
This is my voice.
That's fine.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy. The Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.